You know, you can open up to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And you're there, but I'm going to read, it's impressed upon me, to go to Psalm 38. Psalm 138. And in verse 2 of that psalm, it says, "For you have magnified your word above your name." The Word of God will change and transform situations. The Word of God will sustain us. So every one of us needs to word up. We need to word up every day. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. "So he humbled you." Now Moses is talking to the people. Let's see. Listen, these words are for us too. "So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know." It was something new, never seen, never heard of before. That's the reason he did it, so they could make sure that man did not provide it, that it came from God. "That he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus quoted this when he was tempted by Satan to turn the stones into bread. Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." His word tells us we need more than bread for our lives. We must feed on every word of God. It is truth, his word, that changes and transforms us. Just imagine the power of God's word. In Genesis, things came into being not by his hands, but his spoken word. He speaks, and there was light. The power in the word. The power in the word changes things and changes lives. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep's waters," the deep waters. His spoken word changed the earth from darkness, formless and empty, to what it is today. Just imagine that. That's pretty powerful. Pretty powerful. What God can start with a little seed. Just look around. Look at the world. It's no longer in that state. It is not dark anymore. Is it? It is not formless. And it's definitely not empty. Because he placed his church in it. And we are his church. But a little food for thought here. He did this, but it took him 6 days. It took him 6 days. You're believing or building something? It's going to take you some time. 6 days. Now, could he have done it in one? Maybe, but I think there was a reason he did each step by step. He knew the plan, and he made sure each and every day what was to be accomplished. because he's very precise. When God creates, he speaks it forth. That's in verse 3. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. I don't think he shouted it, because he doesn't have to get loud about anything. He just said, "Light, be." It's like you walk over and you turn that switch on, it's going to go on. Because God's power source is the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
When you speak it, you're speaking like God. And light's going to come on, but the power source has to be the Holy Spirit. But you got to feed the Holy Spirit too. Jesus needs only to say, "Be healed." And things change, do they not? Simply believe. When we read, believe, and act on God's word, we experience a change. And change comes from exposure to the word. Are you exposing yourself to the word daily? All I say, everybody, word up.
Yeah.
Word up. John chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus speaking. John 6, 63. "It is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." Jesus says the word of God is life. It is life. Now in Job 23, verse 12, Job says, "I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread." He's referencing it to bread, how important it is to us. We know we need that to sustain us. Not too much of it, because a load of carbs. Denny's is the only pizza dough that comes without carbs, though. He prays over it, hallelujah. Amen. Okay, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Peter says, "Like newborn babes crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." Peter refers to the word, and he calls it pure spiritual milk. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." This is the Apostle Paul. "I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were unable to receive it, and even now, you are still not able to." Well, I know that the people here of ACA have been given the solid food for quite a while, because we had an awesome teacher who taught for over 38 years in this ministry. And when he's ready and he's done relaxed, he won't be back up here. So be prepared. He ain't gone nowhere. He's just taking a break, and I think we need to let him have that break in peace, because he's coming back too. And he's going to minister the word. Because as he's always said, the word, the word, the word. Hallelujah. But Paul refers to it again here as the word as milk, but he also refers to it as solid food, the filet mignon, you know, the steak. And as we mature and grow, we learn to meditate the word. And then we're able to chew on it as we have been, without choking, because we've been well taught. Solid food, though. And in Psalm 119, verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth, a sweet dessert. His words are a sweet taste unto your mouth. What a meal. You got your bread, you got your milk, you got your solid food, and then you got dessert. God's menu for our spiritual strength and nourishment. That's His Word. So we need to word up. Word up. Are you someone easily discouraged when you are down? Are you one that stays down and finds it very difficult to get up again? Spiritually weak, like a sick man, no strength, depressed, everything looks gloomy. These are symptoms of the lack of nourishment. Lack of the Word. Spiritual malnutrition shows up when a crisis hits, does it not? When you have lost the sense of His presence, His care, and that He is in control. Word up, folks.
Yes, sir.
Word up. Feeding on the Word daily will take us through our life's journey and strengthens us, giving us overcoming, conquering abilities through Christ who loved us. What's love got to do with it? Everything. Praise God. No matter what you are facing, you have conquering abilities through Jesus. So rejoice. And again, I say to you, rejoice. The word rejoice means feel or show great joy or delight. Jump for joy. Celebrate. Yes, celebrate the victory that we have through Jesus Christ. Be happy. Do your happy dance. And you can do it before your enemy. Any of you seen the movie Guardians of the Galaxy? Okay. You're going to go with me on this. There is a part in the movie when at the end they're fighting evil. Okay. And this evil, I'm going to transfer, is like a spirit. An evil spirit. And there's a control man over here that wants the whole thing, which is Satan. Okay. Well, anyhow, this spirit, he is causing all kinds of problems in the galaxy and everything like that. Well, the Guardians of the Galaxies, this ragtag bunch of guys, they end up fighting him. And in one battle, and they draw it to the end, and they're on the ground. And they thought they finally beat him. Out he comes with his staff and stuff in his hand, this hammer. It's got all kind of power because it possesses a stone. It's some power that was given to him from the head dude. We won't mention his name. And he's evil. And when he comes out, they're all laying around like, wow, what happened? And you could see they've been through a lot. And then they got up. And one, he starts dancing. And he's standing there. I'm going to kill all of you. I'm going to eliminate this whole planet. And they're looking, and that dude, he's dancing. Finally, this guy said, what are you doing? He says, I'm dancing, man. I'm happy because you done lost. He's, what are you doing? He says, come on, join in with us because you done lost. And at that point in time, the power of some little raccoon shoots. What he did was he shot the word. Boom! wiped him out, knocked that crystal out. They grabbed the crystal and took it away so it wouldn't have any more effect. They destroyed that one spirit. But my point is, they danced. And it totally confused the enemy. When you're down and out, start dancing. And the enemy's going to say, what are you so happy about? The Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Don't be afraid. Dance before your enemy. It'll totally confuse him, throw him off. And all it'll do is build more faith in you. Because you'll be able to face the enemy. Face him. Because you are a conqueror through Christ. In fact, you're more than a conqueror is what the Word says. Amen? Okay, back to the Word. We must apprehend its author. Understand the person behind the Word and fall in love with the person who oversaw every word that is written in the Bible. And I'm talking about I Am. I'm talking about Jehovah God, the God Almighty, El Shaddai, a one and the same, almost high, God. Through the Word, we get knowledge. But that is not the real goal for us. The ultimate goal for us is to develop a deeper relationship with God. Get all the knowledge you can in the world, but it ain't going to help you. But you can build a relationship with the Lord through what you read. And then He'll reveal things to you, which will give you more knowledge to draw closer to Him, to strengthen your relationship with Him. Word up. Because in John chapter 1, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We're talking about Jesus here. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And darkness was defeated by the light. Because Jesus Christ is the light. God and His Word, though, as we can see, are one. Everything that exists was made by the Word. And what's neat? And the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. Look down to verse 14 there. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Message Bible. The Word became flesh and blood. Had to identify with us. He had to become flesh and blood as you and I are. But He moved into the neighborhood. That's pretty cool. Yeah. He moved into the neighborhood. You can relate to that. Said that, well, he dwelt in. Yeah, well. No, how about He moved into the neighborhood? Became your next door neighbor. We saw the glory with our own eyes. The one of a kind glory. Like Father, like Son. Generous inside and out. True from start to finish. I like that. From start to finish. He true. That means you can trust Him. But he came and says, full of grace and truth. Grace. Goodness. Loving kindness. The unmerited favor from the merciful kindness of God. And truth. Truth as a personal excellence. That candor of mind which is free from affection, pretense, simulation, falsehood, deceit. What did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. But he also said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Words are spirit. Can't see them. They are life. When they're spoken, they're spiritual. Yeah, it's written. Now you need to speak it. That's what activates the spirit. Spirit realm gets going. In the wilderness, remember, Jesus passed every test that Satan came at him with it is written. Our victories will come the same when we speak the word. They'll come the same way when we speak the word, for it is written. God tells us we should not live by bread, which is our food, alone, but by every one of his words. Isaiah 55, verse 10. Isaiah 55:10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11, he does a little comparison here for us. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It's going to bud, folks. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For which I sent it, he says. And in Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Send his word and healed you. We're the them. He's talking about us. Send his word and healed you. Do you believe that? You should. Because it's the word. And it's truth. So then he delivered you from destructions. Destructions, that's talking about the pit of hell. Right. He delivered you. He redeemed you. So then we should do what verse 12 says, should we not? For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. You should go out excited because it's the word. The word. Rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but they water the earth. So it produces a harvest, giving more seed to plant and bread to eat. There's always seed that comes along with it. The same as in your finances, as our brother was saying. Once it starts to grow, then it has extra seed, and it comes back, and you replant it, and it just keeps growing and growing and growing. See, it's a spiritual law that what a man sows, he will reap. Jesus, in the parable of the sower, says the sower sows the word. God's word is seed. Your harvest of the word in your life depends upon how much word you have put into your heart, believe, and sow. That means speak it. You can have all of the word of God right here. And it's like having a bag of grass seed. You don't scatter it out on the ground, it ain't going to turn to grass because it's still going to be here. Plant the seed. And that's what he's trying to say. Word of God is seed. Seed. So I'm going to say something. Sow much seed, reap abundantly. Sow little, reap sparingly. God has given us his word as seed. And his seed is incorruptible. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. His word is going nowhere. Do you understand that? His word's going nowhere. And the power he had when he spoke it and put it in here still has the same power. Still has the same power. And we have been given the authority to speak his word in faith because of the power that's in it. And he's given you the power to speak it. For what Jesus accomplished for us. Now go ahead and use his word. Speak it. His word's not going anywhere. And it's powerful. In Matthew 24, verse 35, it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Not going anywhere. It's incorruptible, and it never fails. His spoken word accomplishes and succeeds. It succeeds. What's it say in Isaiah 55? It says, it shall accomplish, and it shall prosper, in the thing for which I sent it. So use the word. It will accomplish for you the things you desire when you know the word and speak the word. Because that is his will for us. To use his word and to speak it. We are justified and condemned by our words. And we will give an account at judgment for the words we speak contrary to his word. Every day we have choices. Death or life, blessing or cursings. And heaven and earth records those choices. Remember that. Before you speak, remember that. When we speak God's word, heaven moves. When we speak contrary to his word, the God, with a small g, of this world, Satan, moves. And he's listening very intently. Speaking contrary to the word gives him his way. Satan has no place in the lives of believers except when he is given one by our words. Proverbs 18:21, and I know, Elder, you're sitting there going, I'm waiting for that one. Yeah. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Stick your tongue out. Come on. Stick it out. Come on. That little thing there? Oh, yeah. That's deadly. That's a deadly weapon. That's a deadly weapon. That little thing has so much power in it. You had to do a little research on the tongue. I did. Really interesting. How many nerves and everything, what comes from there and goes. And Dean, there's one little part of it you got to look up because it refers to what there's the different tastes that you get, the four, but there's a fifth one. And what it gets from there, you'll be interested because it says it gets it from the MSG. It's an abbreviation for the Message Bible. I just thought that was pretty neat. So look that up, Dean. Yeah, I think you'll like that. Okay. So his word tells us death and life and blessing and cursing are in the power of the tongue. What are we choosing to speak? What are we choosing to speak? My daughter would know who this was. And Deanie, I know he definitely was. Maybe Amanda. Remember Ralphie Parker? Does anybody remember Ralphie Parker? Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I should know. You're in a family there. Y'all are sitting there saying, Ralphie Parker. I know him. Is he famous? Oh, yeah, he is. Every Christmas, you know about Ralphie. He was a little boy in the movie A Christmas Story. Remember he wanted the Red Ryder BB gun? Then he almost shoots his eye out. Well, anyhow, there's a scene in the movie where Ralphie's mother washes his mouth out with a bar of soap because of the language that he used. I brought that up because if that was how easy it was, but you know what? I'd have a lot of soap in my mouth. But did you ever have that done to you when you were a child? I did. Yeah. I did. You know, my mom didn't hold nothing back. Whatever was in her hands when we were disobedient, whether a spoon, spatula, whatever. Yeah. But she wasn't afraid, you know, and but not, you know, but you do that nowadays. You know what that's called? Child abuse. Child abuse. Yeah, I know. Denny didn't have to worry about that. Eleanor took care of all that. You ask her boys, they knew it was like when they made Mom mad and she was driving, they got back in the seat and leaned back because that arm was coming back and she could still drive without swerving.
That's right.
Oh. God's words are life and they are health. And Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 and 22. Chapter 4, verses 20 and 22. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Word up. That's what it means. Word up. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Job called the words from God's mouth a treasure. Verse 22. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. His words are a treasure. And this is important because in John 10:10, Jesus tells us the thief, Satan, comes to steal. And what he comes to steal is your treasure, the word from you. Because he knows the power of God's word. Because Leanne brought this up in her message on Wednesday. Found in Ezekiel 28. Because Satan and a third of heaven's angels who followed him when he was rebellious, they were cast out of heaven on God's word. So he definitely knows. He was stripped of every fine jewel. Everything. You ever see some of those movies when they get up and they strip somebody down of their medals and stuff? And they just rip them off. I can just see him speaking and them things just falling off of him. Took his beauty away from him. Just think, he literally would hold his wings over the throne and over God. But that wasn't good enough for him to be that close. He wanted his seat. When we believe the word to be true and do what the word tells us to do, we will speak it, and we will speak it with faith. We will have confidence in what rolls off of our tongue. Confidence that it will accomplish what we send it to do. So believing and speaking go together. Because in Romans 10, 9 and 10, says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, I don't know why, but it's impressed upon me that right now, how about this morning, and I believe all you're born again, but I want you to say with me, I want you to say, and they call it sinner's prayer, but I like to call it the believer's prayer. Pastor and I started doing that years ago when we would go visiting. We'd tell people, we want you to say this simple prayer. We don't want to call it the sinner's prayer. We call it the believer's prayer. Because it takes believing in this prayer when you say it. That man taught me a lot, folks. Taught me a lot. He taught us all a lot. Amen. So let's say this together. So God in heaven,
God in heaven,
thank you for giving Jesus to me.
I know that I have sinned against you.
Forgive me my sins. I believe Jesus died for me on the cross. Was placed in the grave, and in 3 days was raised from the grave, ever living to make intercession for me. Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. Man, when you say it, and you could say it over and over again, just makes you feel clean. Makes you feel clean again. Believing and speaking, so vitally important for us. Believing in our hearts and speaking with our mouths. Everything comes that way from God. Every word you speak is alive, creating or destroying. God has given us His word as seed. He needs you and me to speak it. Every word of God comes to pass. When you speak the word in faith, the power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you brings it to pass. The word works for everyone who simply believes it and acts on it by saying it. Speaking the word causes things in the natural to change. Because our God is a supernatural God. And what are we here at El Equipo Christian Assembly? We are supernatural church composed of supernatural people doing supernatural things. That's how you get to where God's at. You gotta be like Him. Move to the supernatural. Quit focusing on the natural so much and focus on the supernatural. Well, how can I do that? You got to be supernatural like He is. And because it tells us in Ephesians 5:1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Imitate Daddy. And what does Daddy do? When He speaks, He calls those things that be not as though they were. So be imitators of God. Your success does not depend on how much word you read, know, or memorize, but how much it is a part of you. The more you hear it, the more your mind is renewed to agree with it. Your thinking must line up with the word. You cannot make the word line up with your thinking. But a lot of people do just that. And then they wonder why things are not changing. It's not about you. It's about him. It's about his word. He magnifies his word above his own name. Think about that. It's pretty powerful. And you can use that word. You can speak that word. So what we need to do? Word up. Word up. His word should be as natural to you as breathing. It must become such a part of your life that you respond to every situation with what it says. Yes, with what it says. In every situation, our first question should be, is this good and perfect? Everything good and perfect comes from God. James 1:17, by the way. If it's not good, it's not from God. Then we apply the word as the first, only, and final authority to that not good situation. The word is our weapon against the enemy. It is the sword the Holy Spirit uses to gain victory. What kind of sword are you giving the Holy Spirit? Are you giving one of them little dinky things? Or are you giving him a sword? Think about it. More word, the bigger the sword. Equip the Holy Spirit. Equip him. He's in you. He needs to be fed. Word up. That way the Holy Spirit will gain victory. He will gain victory. Because to get together, whoo, awesome. And it's important to understand that we speak it before we need it. Why wait? I'll wait. Sometimes we wait, it's a little bit too late. You wait, you could be late. We do not speak it just once or a few times when we need it, but consistently as a way of life. Many victories are lost because we stop speaking the word and speak what we see, what we feel, and what others say. We speak what the doctor says. Why do you got to be in agreement with him? Just nod, don't say a word. Or, of course, you could be like Tyler and say, tell the doctor, I'm not believing for that. This is what God's going to do for me. And the doctor just gave him a funny look like, okay, son. Oh. Hey. Now, like I say, there's Tyler. Okay. You know. But isn't that what we do all the time? We end up speaking what somebody else says. What our neighbor might say. What a friend might say. Your words, you know, they can convince you. Forgive me, Lord, that I'm going to expose me because I did this to a supervisor that worked for me. He was one that was real easy. He was a good supervisor, but he was easy to get off track. He'd come in there in the morning and I looked at him and said, hey, man, you don't look good today. What? I feel all right. Really? Yeah, you don't look good. He walked over. Next thing I know, he'd come back over maybe 15, 20 minutes later. He says, you know, you're right, I'm not feeling good. I said, yeah, you look weak. You look like you're really run down, dude. He'd come back again. And next thing I know, he said, you know what? He says, I don't know. He says, you know, I don't know if I can make it through today. I said, oh, yeah. I said, I can see it in your eyes. He would disappear. And I know I'd see one of the hourly subformers come over and say, hey, he went home. He got sick. He wasn't sick at all. But I kept speaking it, and he got in agreement with what I spoke. So when you're talking to someone, watch what they say to you, because you could easily agree with them when you don't really want to say that. So you got to watch, you know, let your hearing hear accurately. I mean, that's what Jesus said, make sure we hear and hear and hear right. Your faith in his word is built up each time that you hear it. What's Romans 10, 17 say? Hearing comes, right? There you go. Our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's hearing. Tune everything else up so you can hear accurately. So, word up. Word up. Word up and speak his word over your situation. Now, I just heard that. I heard that. You say, I am pastor, but right there. See, that's great. And I'm going to tell you, you keep speaking the word. Keep speaking the word, not the but. Because when you speak the but, things aren't going to change. Speak the word, and things will change. It don't happen overnight sometimes, folks. Takes time to get to the point of completion. God even took 6 days. He's trying to tell us something. When you speak the word and stand on the word, who is the word? Jesus. What is he? He's the rock. Stand on it. The word consistently put forth from your mouth changes every situation just as a drop of water does over time dropped on a rock. It just keeps eroding it. And the more you speak it, the more the volume comes like in water, and it starts to erode that rock. Look at the Grand Canyon. Erosion. Nope, it did not. But it's steady. Be steady with the word. Keep speaking the word. The word works, and we put it to work, it will work for you. Whatever the situation is, whether it be a physical one, financial one, an emotional one, or a spiritual one, put his word to work. I thought I'd be hearing, hallelujah, praise God, the word works. Nikki just gave a testimony to the lady who wrote the book, The Word Works. They called and wanted to know his testimony because he read the book and he kept reading those prayers. And in the prayers of that book, there are scriptures to go look up. And he did that. And Nikki got to give his testimony via communications to a gathering of people honoring her. By the way, she's what, 85, Nick? 85. Pastor Shirley's 85. Whatever the situation is, the word will work for you. The word of God is truth. Knowing and speaking his truth changes your situations. Word up. Word up. That way you're able to speak God's word. And you'll be able to speak it in faith. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. And you speak it over every area of your life. Remember, the victory is yours if you choose it. It's how you speak it. Do you speak victory or do you speak defeat? It's yours. It's in the power of the little tongue. And if it's out of control, take a little bit of soap. Clean it up. Amen. I thank you, and I think that's where we're going to stop for the day.